get this thing going again here. Find those softest of seats out there. All right, we are up to item number 15, which is approve appointment of the Mark Twain Community Center Advisory Board.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to pass the baton here to Commissioner Gilman in just a minute. Later today in the agenda, I believe we have the opportunity to go ahead and finalize all decisions pertinent to our fire services down in the Mark Twain area. This will essentially free up the majority of the firehouse down there, with the exception of the bays where we need to keep apparatus out of the cold weather and everything. With that, between Commissioner Gilman and Chief Hames, I'm going to give Commissioner Gilman all the credit in the world. He saw the diamond in the rough and said, wouldn't this make a great community center? So he's been extremely proactive in giving us great leadership and guidance in this. And it's through his efforts that we want to impanel an advisory board to help us get this thing off the ground sooner than later. So I'll pass it over to Commissioner Gilman.
Thank you very much. I thank you for the kind words, but I'm going to tell you candidly, Chief Hames is really the man that deserves the credit here. His relationship that he's bonded with in Lyon County are incredible, and the cooperative agreements that they put together, in my opinion, are incredible, lowered our cost of operations, and he was well along the path here, so I'm glad to jump on the hay wagon, but I got to tell you, he's been pulling for a long time, and this is really coming together because of his efforts. Our goal, and I'm excited to say that we have selected an advisory board, so the fire station down there is going to be dedicated to the Mark Twain community as a first, and they'll have a community center, and much as we have in the Lockwood area. And as a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to chatting with you a bit more and getting all of them together, and so we'll start day one on doing a good job of organizing ourselves and elections, and it'll give us a voice down into the Mark Twain area with folks that are hands-on. I'm going to tell you, Ron, you guys know Ron Eckebrecht. He's wonderful. He was the director of the Republican Party here. He's from the neighborhood down there. Denise, you all know Denise. She's been very, very active with our food program down there, and certainly a strong leader in that community. Adam Rabello, y'all haven't met him. I call him my tomato grower. He and the family all have a place down there with mom and dad, and good, strong community folks. Of course, Laura, you know from our planning commission, and she's just the salt of the earth, just couldn't be a finer lady. And Ray. And I don't know whether you all remember Ray, many of you should. He's lived down there since about 1980. He was a volunteer with the fire department for years. He's got a very strong common sense voice, and so these folks have been selected to lead us with that new community center. And I'm excited. It's a work in progress. It's come together. I thank the commission and Pat Whitten and everybody that's worked on it, but I really believe these are the steps in our communities that are going to make a difference for each and every one of us. And I think we can celebrate that together. We're here today to approve these appointments.
Excellent. Well, you pulled this together pretty darn quick. Never let a vacant building sit idle, huh?
Again, I'm going to tell you, Bill, the man sitting right back there is the Gary deserves a great deal of credit for putting this in front of me.
That sounds like a great idea. Anyone else have any comments or anything about it?
If you need help in the organization, I'm the president, she's the secretary, we want a rainbow bed. We'd be glad to come down there and help him.
I'm planning to come for both of you.
I figured you would.
Thank you very much for that offer.
So, let's entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, at this time I move for the appointment of the five members to the Mark Twain Community Center Advisory Board.
Okay.
I second that motion.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we'll recess and then reconvene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, item number 17. There's a contract with Comstock Mining for the sale of untreated water.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask Mike to give you a little bit of background research on this. But first off, I want to recognize both an individual and the company and note that he is here if you need him to speak. We need to give him 2 minutes advance notice because he's kind of game today. But Scott Jokover and Comstock Mining approached us, gosh, I believe last fall at the celebration of the pouring, of the first pouring. And so they one thing you need in mining is you need lots of water. And they had acquired rights to be able to pump water, but they wanted to help our water system here in Story County be healthy. So they opted at a higher price to offer to purchase raw untreated water that we have access to through the Franktown Decree. I'll call it governments aren't supposed to profit, but at enough of a spread over our wholesale rates with the state that we can begin over time to make some much needed improvements. Plus, again, this gives us the assurances that we're in a solid position by using the water that we're allocated. I want to stress in our conversations with Comstock Mining and through our DA's office have stressed this is not a conveyance of any rights. Our rights are guaranteed under the Franktown Decree, as I've mentioned. This is simply a wholesale, it's not even wholesale. It is a purchase of untreated water that never makes it to our filtration systems. It's actually intercepted before at a price slightly discounted from treated water. So it's a great deal that staff advocates for approval, and I'll let Mike fill you in on any background stuff.
Thank you. I was going to ask Scott, what happened to you? Did you fall in the water tank out there again?
Oh,
geez. Feel for you. Yeah, as Pat mentioned, this agreement is nothing new. It's just for a renegotiation of a rate. We've been selling the mining interest water at that location since the 1980s when Houston Oil and Minerals was involved, then United Mining, Plum Mining, and now Comstock Mining. And as Pat mentioned, we have an annual allocation of roughly 433 acre feet, which you know, is a substantial amount of water. They, through this agreement, have agreed to purchase about 80 acre feet of that 430, and we use an annual allocation here between the communities of Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City, about 74 to 76 million per year. So we do have that excess that we refer to as water that we're entitled to, and if we don't use it, it gets sold to Carson City. So we've negotiated a rate for that 80 acre feet, which is about 26 million gallons annually that they've agreed to purchase for it at a rate of $2.30 per thousand, and the base fee on top of that for the meter, depending on size. Right now there's an existing 2-inch meter, so that base fee for the meter is $93.81. When we install the 4-inch meter, that base fee, and it's based on the equivalent meter ratio, will go to $293.39. And then any water that they don't purchase monthly will be billed at the end of the yearly cycle. So there's some other things that they're going to make improvements to their facilities down there through this agreement at their cost. And then once those are done, we'll look at the possibility through a joint effort between the Story County Water and Sewer System and CMI to make some improvements to the 5 Mile Reservoir. That reservoir right now is not used, It's been in disrepair since 2003, and it holds 5.5 million gallons of water, and that's 5.5 million gallons of water that we don't currently have in storage. And the pipeline that serves the communities was put in the 1800s as a result of mining. It wasn't for mining, we wouldn't have that system in place today. And we still use the second pipeline, which provides the water from the Sierra Nevada range to the communities here, and that system dates back to 1875. We have had issues now and again with it, but you know, this will help, you know, maybe put some money in the bank, if you would, to explore some of those possibilities and feasibilities of making needed improvements on that system, and they are needed, I can tell you that. Anybody wants to take a tour someday, we can make that happen too. So we're asking that you approve the agreement between the Story County Water and Sewer System and Comstock Mining. And I don't know if Scott anything to add or not. But anybody have any
questions or comments? I think it's good that since we have all the water rights that we try to show some utilization on them too. Someone could come along at a future time and say, well, you got a little bit too much there and we're going to take it away from you.
Well, we're fearful that that could happen. So we don't want to lose our allocation that we're entitled to from the states.
And pipeline is definitely a pretty scary thing, like standing next to a hand grenade with a pinpole.
You know, a lot of sleepless nights and that thing, but anyway, we just deal with it when we need to.
Any comments from the
Mr. Chairman?
Come on.
I can hear a lot better, Vanessa. Thank you.
Is this a different issue than the sewer plant we're going to replace? Okay, I don't want to talk about this. Whenever the sewer plant, I thought it was that item. Is he going to go to that? I want to talk about
it. On the water from Marlette.
Yeah, I don't care about that water. I want to talk about the water. All right.
So, a quick comment, if I may. This item was on the last agenda, and you all were kind enough to continue to this agenda. We've had an opportunity to spend some time with the contract, and I appreciate that very much. And I would say that it's a wonderful opportunity for our county, and I thank you for all the work you've done on it, Mike. In my opinion, at this point, it's just excellent and time to move forward.
You always use more money to upgrade our system.
So, motion.
I'd make the motion that the contract with Comstock Mining Inc. for the sale of untreated and unused water at the reduced rate and other related matters be approved by the commission at this time.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let's see. All right. Now we're going to recess again and then come back to order as the Board of County Commissioners and Sheriff Licensing, item number 19.
Item 19, we recommend for approval.
Just that one item on there?
Actually, the next three, 19, 20, and 21. We completed our backgrounds on everybody.
Oh. Okay, you recommend on all three of those?
Yes.
Okay. I think we can do that on one motion then. Mm-hmm. Item 19, 20, 21.
Fire repellent, that company, what does he do again? Does he train in right to carry? Is that what that was?
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to be, it's a home business, but he's going to be doing his training off his own property, going to the firing range.
Yeah.
but he's going to be operating his business from his home.
Great. That's great. Thank you.
And I think on item 20, we ought to hold the owner to bring in donuts occasionally or something, since she's here and she serves the best consumer.
Yes, just noticed that. Okay. Okay, so a motion for those three items.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion to approve the second readings of item 19, item 20, and item 21. And would you like me to read in the businesses?
No, nope, that's fine.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item 22 is tentative budget hearings. You?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, we are going to embark on the tentative budget. This has been a living, breathing document for quite some time now. We've had several meetings with all the department heads, for the most part, and have come to the conclusion as to a tentative budget to submit to you before for your approval. Before we go down that road, a little bit of numbers on the global side of it, or the state county side. Property taxes ad valorem, the budget figure for this year compared to last year is going to be down by about 6%. This is pretty much due to the fact that if you look at net assessed value from 2013 and the budget period 2014, we're going down from $294 million to $288 million. That's a drop of 2%. If you take that from a base year of 2010, we are down 27% from that base year of 2010. Base tax year of 2010 was $367 million, and we are currently budgeting for $288 million. Quite a disparity. Due to a lot of factors, reassessment of personal and real property, abatements, erosion of caps, the State Board of Equalization diminishing based upon requests from certain taxpayers. Our sales tax will be up about 1%, which I think is a hopeful indicator because it says that people are now getting back to buying goods and services, and hopefully that continues. On the global expense side for the county, salaries will increase about 3% in the tentative budget. PERS will increase, our public employee retirement system will probably increase around 3% due to current rate changes, and those rate changes are from 23.75 for regular members to 25.75 effective 7/1/13. And for police fire at 39.75% is going to be raised to 40.50%. This is a little side note, and I think it was in 1985, the regular members were at somewhere around 16%, and police fire was about 17%. So it's kind of grown dramatically. Again, something that we as a funded county must pay by legislature. The PERS people have, in conversation with them, says we cannot go back to or even look at contributory. However, I'm going to take a look at that and see if there's not a possibility that if that continues to be, then we have some options out on the table. But for now, it's no. Our PAC insurance, which is our umbrella on any property casualty, anything that's here through either Lloyd's of London or whatever, is probably going to increase, probably, we think, about 6.5%. We don't know that real number just yet because those board members have not given us that information. insurance. As Oneta dictated was, the average will probably be about 9.9%. We're budgeting an increase of 4.2% because we really don't know for various new hires or replacements of individuals that are currently have currently gone, whether or not they're going to be a single person or a single or a married person with family, and those rates are significant. And for those who are in the gas and diesel business, we are proposing the budget compared to last year. We're going to compare. We're going to probably put in a 15.5% increase, and in that case, this is if at some point in time gasoline prices get to a certain level, we need to rethink how we're doing our fleet. This is something that we're going to keep a close track on, and hopefully we can get some way of knowing at exactly what point in time we're going to have to discuss that. So that's globally what we're looking at. It's not a great rosy picture, but it's something that we all need to look at, be concerned of, and so consequently our budget cycle will dictate that. We are going to do something new this year with salaries and wages for everybody. We have instituted a program to where overtime is going to be a budgeted item, and we are going to have all of our department heads explain by pay period exactly why the overtime period or the overtime occurred. Now, there's a lot of things that go on with this. We have callback, we have holiday pay that is contractually obligated that we have. We have annual leave, we have sick leave that may require overtime. But in all of those instances, and I would like to request this of the board, in all those instances, I would like to redo or at least have examined between now and the final budget, the fact that let us take a look and see if we can eliminate that part of overtime that is conducive to annual leave. I just have a stickler for that. It may be impossible, but at the very least, what we will do is we will get a base period for this year. And so anything that's contractually done, which is holiday pay and overtime for a holiday, callback, any of those items that, in the case of police, fire, public safety that requires it, is absolutely necessary, and I would not want to do any of that. However, those departments that have annual leave, I would like to see what the base is going to be on that. I understand that it is very, very hard for somebody to go on annual leave when you've got budget constraints to slot somebody in that is coming back or in an overtime situation. I am hoping with this dialogue that we have between now and the final that we have an opportunity to sit down with those that are involved in this, try and get some center ground, and then report back to you on the final. With that, we will go into the general, and for the most part, general here consists of those revenue departments, with the exception of public safety, Mike's live departments, and some of the special revenue funds that are indicated out there that will probably be showing at the end. And the first, I think, is our clerk treasurer.
It's a little different seeing you guys from this side and sitting behind you all the time. sure you guys all have my budget letter that I put together. I just wanted to give you kind of an overview of what the office does too. Maybe that'll tie in a little bit for you. We do the property tax collections for your real, personal, and centrally assessed. We maintain vital records and access to ordinance, resolutions, minutes, marriage licenses, and other historical documents. We're doing your voter registration and all the elections. We collect and disperse public funds. We're clerk to this board, your Board of Equalization and Debt Management. We also do all your district court proceedings, and we issue marriage license, fictitious firm names, notary bonds, wills, and file other documents. I haven't asked for any significant changes this year, kind of keeping right on course, and here to answer any questions if you have any.
That's a comment, if I may. I thank you very much for your report, these executive summaries. All the departments this year have turned these in, and it adds for a lot of reading, but as a matter of fact, I was speaking with Commissioner McBride earlier, and wherein it adds for a lot of reading, it also allows us a lot of understanding of what's happening in your department, and certainly a lot more comfortable with approving budgets like this. So I thank you for the work and effort. One of the things that that we're focusing on this year is what I call zero baseline budgeting. And that's whereby you build a budget in your department from zero and you take it up from there so that all line items then are thought about, every dollar considered. You put it in, you don't look at the last year's budget before that and say, well, that's what I did or this is what I did, and so I'm gonna add X percent. And in this case, you've really considered your budget. And I thank you a lot for that extra work and the expertise that went into that. I believe where this is all going to come home to benefit, and I have these same comments basically with all of our departments. I'm looking forward to line item management so that as we move forward in the coming months that if we're over it in line items in a budget area that we can address it here at the commission and the interface and maybe make a difference. I don't believe that there's a more important function for this board than managing the county's money and resources. And every one of us, whether it be a department or these commissioners, this is, and always has been, a very, very, very important aspect. So with the line item budgeting and these kind of reports, I really believe we're on a path and a direction. I believe we have the ability to save this county $500,000 in the foreseeable future just with doing good money and budgetary controls. The other thing I'd ask, and I don't mean this by any way to be for my chair criticism, but I'm going to ask everyone now that we have a tentative budget in play, please go back with Mr. Gallagher. Some of the departments were stronger in their reporting. Some of the departments, in my opinion, took more time with their line item budgeting, as you have done here. And so I'm going to encourage everybody, this is so important, especially this time when revenues have been thin, that we go back and look at every dollar we're spending in our department. And so I hope between now and the final budget, that Mr. Gallagher is very, very, very busy and is meeting with all the department heads. These reports, when we go back, these overview reports, as we are working together during the coming months, we're going to be able to go back and see what your plan was. And so what happened? Well, fuel went up, or I had an unusual event that took place that caused me to have to reevaluate. Well, we can all do that together, and that makes sense, and that just is called financial management, in my opinion. And great job here.
Thank you.
For it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we'll go through the line item, if you may. Clerk Treasurer's budget will go up $30,000 this year, and I will mention it's probably for every single department, and it's due mainly to salaries and fringe benefits. Obviously, salaries, there was a COLA that is going to occur on July 1st, cost of living increase, and plus the cost of PERS and cost of the insurance. So all of that will be there. There's also a $9,000 increase in our services supplies, which is basically something that we've been trying to do for quite some time, and that's reassign whoever has the document gets the budget, but also gets the payment. And in this case, all the postage for the courthouse is going to be centralized in Vanessa's office. Every office within the courthouse and some outside will be prorated for the lease payment and also for their own postage. So we're getting a little more accountable as we go with postage. And the other thing is there was a transfer from the general to Vanessa's department for $10,000 in bank charges. These are all the bank charges that we get from Bay of A, Wells Fargo, because Vanessa is the reconciler of the bank and consequently is best suited to go to the bank and find out why such charges are massive. So we're putting it with the individual, and I don't, that's pretty much her budget. The other question I had of, go ahead, Vanessa, is district court?
Hugh and I did discuss yesterday. You'll see that the district court and the clerk treasurer are listed as two different departments. And I questioned why we can't just be one. District court is a duty of the clerk, and to me it would be easier in the budgeting if we brought it into one department. So that's something I think we'll try to look at and see if we can consolidate a little bit. That was it.
Genetic marker testing, can you give us a little...
Yeah, that is a fee that's imposed by statute. We collect it. Part of it goes to an account for court security, and when the judges see fit, they can upgrade things in the courtroom. Right now, we only have just over $2,000 in there, I believe, so it's not a whole lot to do much in this room. Hopefully, it'll keep growing, and in the future, we can do some upgrades. The other portion of it is passed on to Washoe County as they do the genetic marker testing for us.
Mr. Chairman, the district court budget is we have tentatively a $9,000 reduction from the 2013 budget, mostly due to, I believe, public defenders, for which Vanessa doesn't think we need that many. Crime must be down, but that is her budget. Genetic marker testing is basically an in and out account as Vanessa explained, it is very revenue neutral, and there are certain fees that come in for that, certain fees that go out. It's a very minor fund, but required by statute. Mm-hmm.
I think the only other one you'll see under me is the drug court, which is Department 140. And this is another fee we collect when the judge imposes it on certain defendants. And right now the fund just kind of grows. In theory, it should be turned over to another group that's doing some of our drug court work for the county. I've had a hard time getting anybody to take the money. We do work with Sean a little bit, and we try every year to try to pass it on, but it's got some pretty tight restrictions on it per statute. So right now, we just let it grow. And that's it. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is, again, an in-and-out type of thing, so it's revenue neutral.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Mrs. Jett.
For the record, Jen Chatwin, Commissioners, County Management. As with Vanessa, I've already included a write-up on my department. I think I can honestly say that every dollar was considered in developing this. As you will see, that overall, my budget between last year and this year is only raising by about $397. We strive to manage county money and resources on a professional and extremely hardworking level. I think that having some of the technology and the great staff that we have really enabled us to make strides. You will see some, basically some different accounts in my budget this year, as we are basically adding postage accounts, breaking out into the computer accounts and computer software accounts. It's similar monies that have been under one thing. We're just breaking it out for a little better accounting. And if I can answer any other questions, or, I mean, I can go line by line if you want, but I've already written that out.
Excellent report. Well done. Comprehensive. And I agree that you looked at every dollar. I understand there was a thought at one time you might have wanted to add an extra person, but you've actually decided at the end of the day that you'll have a part-time floater that'll assist?
We will work with whatever we've got. We will step up to the plate when we need to. Doesn't mean I won't stop asking from now and then, but we understand the position that the county is in right now, and like I said, we've got technological tools to help us get that work done, and we have a great staff. And, you know, I put the work in to make sure that everything is done at the end of the day.
I believe that.
Any other questions?
Nope. You did a good job.
All right. Thank you.
Well done. All right. Who's up next?
Jenna?
Anna.
Hello again. Janice Seddon, Story County Assessor. Basically, my budget for the last 2 years and even this year has stayed pretty much stagnant. When Kathy Weeks retired, we had originally hired someone in our office to basically replace her or whomever, depending on who was elected for assessor. We all kind of hoped in our office, since I had the background and the knowledge, that I would be elected, and lucky for me, I was. Unfortunately, what happened is it ended up leaving a hole in our staff that we have tried for the last 2 years to work through. Unfortunately, with the state constantly now adding more and more, they're doing less and less of the appraisals. They're turning over all of our utilities. They're no longer being centrally assessed. We're having to assess the AT&T companies. We're having to assess the level three communication companies, line miles, a lot of new things coming in. Previously, in the last 3 years, they've turned over several of the power companies that have to be turned over, which takes more and more time from the assessor or whomever else that that we can get to help us out. My office currently consists of three people, which is I have an office worker, DMV clerk, I have a personal property appraiser, three, and I have myself, which I'm also an appraiser. Like I said, we used to have four. In 2003, when Kathy requested an additional appraiser, that was me, it was apparent that the continuing growth in Story County was going to be more than a three-person office could handle, along with continuing to do all the DMV work that we did. And especially when they started closing the DMV offices, the satellite offices, we have more and more people coming from out of county. I would guess that 75% of the people that come to do DMV in our office are out-of-county residents, which is fine by us, but it's also increased the amount of work that we do for DMV, which takes away from assessor duties. With a four-person office, it's not that big of a deal because you still have someone that's dedicated to DMV and additional office work. You have a personal property appraiser, and then you have your two real property or outside appraisers. So, but what was happening, like I said, in when we had the influx of the growth in the county between, oh, I guess that was what, between 2004 and 2008, We had this huge influx, which also meant that the growth of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, it quadrupled our business personal property. We went from doing business personal property from in between doing all of our reappraisals, in between doing DMV, in between doing mobile home billing and collections and everything else. That was kind of an aside job. That kind of just got done in between everything else that we did, to a full-time job. This is something now that my personal property appraiser works on year-long. But what has happened now that we are down a person in our office, she's not only having to try to do that full-time job, she's having to try to step up and help out with the appraiser three duties that were kind of abandoned when I became an elected official. And I can't really say they were abandoned, because unfortunately, we have statutes saying that we have to get our work done by certain times. We have to have the roads closed at a certain time. We have to have notices out by certain times. So we have constraints of our time and work that has to be done. So now she is stepping up and having to help out with the real property as well. So, and what most people don't realize is that with a downturn in this economy, where a lot of other things that you don't have a lot of new growth, but what people need to realize is during that growth that we had, the buildings are still there. The businesses are still there. We may not be growing, but we still have the same number of buildings, the same number of, we may have lost a few businesses, but really not. And so our workload is still there. We have the same workload that we had when we had four, and at one point when we had a trainee in the office that unfortunately didn't last very long, five people. And we were still busting butt to get all our work done. So basically where this is going is to justify, because I have asked for a full-time, less than part-time person in my office. And I have been so graciously allotted a small amount of money for an intermittent person in my office, but I really believe that at this point I would be doing the county a disservice by not standing up here and asking once again to possibly be considered for that full-time, part-time person for this job, because I think it's in the best interest of the county residents, so that we can perform our jobs to the best of our ability and be there and actually, you know, be able to answer to the people that are asking these questions. Currently, my payroll budget for the 2013-14 with myself and my two current full-time office workers would be the $296,962. That's with benefits. And with the intermittent person, that would raise it to the $304,190 on my budget. Adding the possible request for the additional money for a full-time, part-time, less than part-time person would basically add an additional $12,720 to my budget. So, like I said, it never hurts to ask. So I'm up here asking for that as well. As far as the rest of my budget items, like Jen had said previously, my budget has basically stayed the same. We try very hard to work within and lower than our budget that we have set. We try to maintain that budget. There are times when you have to look forward, knowing that we have certifications, we have classes that myself and my other appraiser have to maintain. You have to go to classes. It's not something that you get and it's just there, you have it. You have to maintain hours. You have to keep up with the ever-changing rules and regulations that the state is constantly putting on us. So there's travel expenses. We try to keep those to a minimum, but we also have to look to the future and project what's coming up. Where our next class is going to be, where our next conference is going to be. And so, like I said, so we try to hold it down to a minimum, but when you're looking forward, I've been able to maintain my budget for my actual office for the last, I believe, 3 years, with the exception of this year. We had to add in the postage, because now that they are taking that out of the general fund and they are dispersing it between each office. This year I was able to, last year we were able to lower it. However, until we know what happens with legislature as far as the printing of our tax roll, I was able to lower that budget this year. But it's something that I can't take out of my budget at this point until we know what happens with legislature. So that's a budget item. That's a possibility that may be dropped significantly in that area. Was there any questions? I mean, are there any questions on the line items that I have that, you know, that I've submitted that you may not actually know?
I have for my chair.
Mm-hmm.
One of the values in zero-based budgeting is not just grinding the numbers to the bone, but actually analyzing your department, and in some cases there would be increases.
Mm-hmm.
You can foresee in your crystal ball that we all have to use, maybe, mm-hmm. that there may be increased needs or costs. As I go down this particular account item, it just says no change front to back. There are no mm-hmm. changes within your budget. And I should think, as you look at the department, and I don't know, so I've just put the mm-hmm. thought, that I would be happy to see, well, we need an increase here. We're going to need more training in a place like this. So I would suggest that to all departments, zero-based budgeting doesn't mean you're taking it to the lowest common denominator and we're trying to grind out. We want to see what is it going to take to actually run the department on an effective basis. Mm-hmm. And if in fact there's another person necessary there and we are really doing a disservice to the county and revenue collections, or I mean, I've heard a lot of criticism about our property taxes, and you have, and I know you fight that mm-hmm. battle every day in there. Well, is that a function of something we could do better with the proper people? One thing I'd ask you, it says professional services here, $21,000. Mm-hmm. We pay an outside appraiser about $12,000 instead of $1,000. So our appraising actually takes place. Help me understand what that is.
Okay, so for our outside appraiser, what this does for us, this is an experienced industrial appraiser, basically for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. They have the historical values. We don't have a lot of historical value except for right there in Tri that we can pull from and experience. And this is something that has been, I'm not even sure how long he's been contracted, even through Kathy Weeks, when the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center started to build. It's one of those things that when something new comes into your county, and if you are not trained in that area, sometimes it's a lot better to hire someone that can not only appraise these properties and do them because they know what's in those buildings, they know what it takes to build those buildings, but not only to appraise them, but to come defend them at the state and county boards of equalization. So basically what this covers is for our experienced industrial appraiser for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to perform yearly new construction appraisals, yearly land appraisals, evaluate economic obsolescence on a yearly basis for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, defend our positions at the county and state boards of equalization each year, and he will be stepping up to help and train me and my staff to value the AT&T companies, the utility companies, because the state had utility analysis people that appraised these. We are not utility analysis people, but however, when we hire the appraisers, number one, we're getting their expertise in what they're doing, and also in helping us to train us where we need to go and what we need to do.
So I would call this outsourcing. Basically, mm-hmm. you have the help of another employee, if you will,
mm-hmm.
except we aren't paying benefits. We're paying a flat outsource fee mm-hmm. to help us. Is there a way to use this other employee? Is there other ways to outsource some of the requirements from the appraisal side from your office? Or we might be able to help you and in fact not have to bring more employment on.
I mean, it's a possibility, but the problem that you're looking at is when you outsource, it's very costly per hour basis or per appraisal basis, and then you're not getting anything else. You're strictly just getting that service. You're not getting the extra help if you have someone out of your office that's sick and now you can't go out and do field work because you don't have anyone to cover your office, because our office is mandated by NRS statutes to be open a certain amount of hours. That's the problem. You're going to end up paying, when it's all said and done, about the same amount of money. You may pay a little bit less, but yet you don't have that extra. You're only getting one service. You're not getting it all. You're not getting a person that can step in and help you with when you're in a crunch and you got somebody, you need somebody to do the DMV, or you need someone to do business personal property to meet deadlines. You don't have that.
I understand. Now, the concept of a live body is expensive in our public employment. So to the extent you can outsource, I would want to at least think about that and maybe run that by Hugh and see how we might be able to enhance your operation and support you with
right.
The other thing I would have enjoyed is that where you gave us a nice explanation of your outside appraiser and what its mm-hmm. functions are.
And I actually have that on this list here if you'd like for me to go through.
Well, that'd be really nice in your report. Because I think I would as a commissioner benefit from understanding what your needs are and how you're using these people. And I do read it and I do pay attention to it. So
this is a new thing for us too with a new commission, and you know, hindsight's 2020. After I turned everything in, I thought, ooh, maybe I probably should have gone into a little bit better explanation when I'm getting ready to go through this for your benefit. Like I said, it's we have to kind of remember, too, that we have a new commission up here that probably wants to know more of our in-and-out detail because, you know, you guys really don't know
yet. This group wants to assist and help, that mm-hmm. we're very interested in what's happening in the community, and you might put that as future partners as you move forward on that, because the more information you can give us, the better chance we have of making salient decisions on your
right. behalf. And I do want to add, with our DMV office that we have, because a lot of, and I don't know if this has ever really been brought up, it's not a huge amount of money, but we do get compensated from DMV for having DMV in our office. It's not a lot. The last 10 months, it's been about $15,000 that they do put towards, and it goes into the general fund, I believe it is, under our assessor. So we do get some of that extra. So when you look at that bottom line of what our numbers are, I mean, there is some compensation from some other areas for that as well.
So do you estimate that the person who handles DMV is a full-time position for revenue? It's as minimal as you suggested.
It's, in all honesty, there are days that you never get away from that DMV desk, and there are days that you may only have three or four people. But when you take into consideration that not only are you handling the people that are in front of you, you're handling the phone calls and the people that just stop by because they have a question. My guess is out of that person, over, you know, an average, probably about 75% of her time goes to DMV.
So then following up with that, has there been any conversation with DMV for possibly having them provide one of their kiosks here, which would take the workload off?
I have asked, and they have told us that our county is too small. I was very excited. Thinking that we could actually have a kiosk that would free up some of our time in our assessor's office.
For just renewals, because, you know, if it wasn't a new registration or a title change.
That's right. And, you know, now it kind of surprises me how busy we really are, because there are so many services that you can do for DMV online now that you can do. I think a lot of people like having the personal service. They like coming up and getting their tag immediately. They like coming up and taking care of personal business. And like I said, we do see a lot of Story County residents, but we don't see near as many Story County residents as we used to. We see a lot of Lyon County residents, a lot of Carson, a lot of Washoe. They don't want to go stand in those long lines down at DMV. They'd rather come up here. They would rather come up here and get the personal service. And because if they have questions and they don't understand, we literally try to go out of our way to help them and to do what they need to do and get the information that they need to get to help them. So,
are you statutorily required to handle DMV?
No, we are not. There are only four assessor's offices out of the 17 counties and one recorder's office that handle DMV. And so, and even in the smaller counties, I mean, we have ourself, Eureka, Pershing, and Esmeralda. So in all honesty, there's quite a few smaller counties out there that still don't take on the DMV responsibilities. I personally think DMV should maybe open up down on C Street. I'm just kidding. But yeah. But it is. It's what we do, and it's a function that we provide for the county. And, you know, sometimes it's not conducive because they do reimburse us about $15,000 a year. However, they also don't reimburse us for paper, for envelopes, for stamps, for inks, for postage, for any of that stuff. So when you really take into consideration how much money we put out as a county for DMV, it's quite a bit. But once again, we are providing a good service for our residents.
How much, what percentage of your business of a month or a year is for outside of the county? Are you projecting that percentage?
I would guess probably anywhere from 70% to 75% of our business is from out of county.
So we're subsidizing basically 75% of our business for other counties as opposed to our own local. That's interesting.
It's pretty nice to be able to come up here. You can drive all the way up here, get your business done, and go back to Reno, and you'd still be standing in line in Reno.
I think we need a surcharge.
The kiosks have a surcharge.
They do.
$3 surcharge.
Yeah, I think we ought to implement a surcharge.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, go ahead. If Jen is not, we have given a intermittent part-time for approximately $7,300, which is about $4,000 off of her part-time person. My suggestion is, as we go down this road for this session, see where it is, have Jana document where all of the holes may be, and possibly if there's a positive reflection from the board, I think July 1st, 2014 would be the time to do it. If we do not provide some outsourcing for the Mark Stafford, he is that $12,000 we pay for him compared to a full-time equivalent of $74,000, I think is money well spent.
Okay.
I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm very happy with the $7,200 that I'm getting for an intermittent, but like I said, I think I would be doing the county a disservice if I didn't appreciate that but didn't ask for a little bit more. So, because if you don't ask, you never get, and you kind of need to put it on the table for what's headed down the road.
I have to recognize, too, that your office is just a little different from some of our others. You're mandated by NRS to be open, but if you're out in the field, which does eat up a lot of time, that's two people, and I wouldn't have that any other way. I would not go out even packing heat and do appraisals.
We have our little uniforms in the. We were seriously thinking about putting a little target on our back there, but
I had some backup because I understand that I think that's a matter of safety. But at the same time, you have to have somebody in that office, and of course, the fact that we handle the DMV function, it does give somebody there that complies with the NRS and do the DMV, which I think is a really good service for the people.
And not only that, it does bring people up to our town, the DMV service, during the day at all times of the year that will come up and do it and then stop and shop and eat as well. So it's not just a service. It does bring.
Budget over to VCTC then?
No.
Thanks, Jana.
Jana, can you give us a little just short dissertation on the technology fund?
I can. I wasn't sure if we were going to do that on a separate thing or not. Starting in 2005, per NRS 361.530, basically what this did, it allowed the assessors to receive a 2% on all personal property taxes and net proceeds taxes that were collected through the county. We get a 2% of what's collected, and it goes into a tech fund. What this tech fund, it's mandated what you can and can't use it for. It has to directly help or provide a service or something for the assessor's office. And basically what we have done in previous years with this tech fund, we have helped purchase servers for our IT departments. We have flown. We have come up with aerial photography. And I'm not like trying to think of everything right now that we've done for the service. But basically, right now, what we have is about $145,000 in my account right now, and I pay the vast large majority of our GIS contract with Douglas County. And I believe I'm paying $40,000 towards that this year. Is it Pat, 40 or 45?
You're at 45.
45 this year. 40, okay. So we're, depending on the budgets of other, basically depending on the budgets of the other offices that can, that use GIS, what they can put in, basically I pick up the rest and pay for our GIS services. This also is something that's come down that's being mandated for state demographers, for all the information that they need for the state demographers, census bureaus, everything. This is what GIS does. I'm not really sure how many people really know what GIS does, because I know when I first heard GIS, I thought they were a bunch of pretty maps. Didn't really realize what else they do. They do a lot of statistical analysis, GIS does, that helps the county in just more ways than you can possibly think. So, I mean, it's helping us with the land bills. Yes, this is, we're, our final product is going to be a pretty map, but everything that goes into it prior to that is research. And so I'll be paying a vast large majority of the GIS fund. Technology for, like I said, our pictometry, which is our aerials, which is going to help us this year, and one of the only reasons that we've really been able to squeak by and get our work done these last couple of years is because we've had pictometry, because when we can't get out of the office, it's not the same. They finally said that if you have aerials, they agreed, they said that was a physical appraisal. Used to, you had to physically go out every 5 years and appraise a property. So, but if you have good aerials and you can actually see what's there, you can at least see if there's a change. And you can check around and see if there's a change. If there's no change, then I don't have to physically take my time and my other appraiser's time and go hit that property. That's our appraisal, it's the same. You see a change, then you go out, physically do it. So we were able to appraise a lot of our outside areas that take a lot of time to get to, because you just have to go see the property. You know, you're going to look for a well out on a 40-acre piece of property. You know, that's time-consuming. So pictometry has been able to help us tremendously in that area. Also, like I said previous, we have helped the police when they need something, when they need a search area, it's, you know, I call it GIS department, and they use our pictometry imagery, and they're able to see the mountain ranges, see the area, see homes. Eventually, it's, hopefully, it will be helping our dispatchers when they can log in and they can pull up an address, and it pulls up a residence. And they can tell them, you have a driveway that's 25 feet long, and then you come to a gate or a fence that's 10 feet high, because they can measure. These are all things that will end up helping not just my department, but the whole county as a whole. Also, we're looking at another area that we're trying to do, and the problem is when you have technology, it takes time to implement them. And unfortunately, I'm going to go back to manpower. We have implemented some of this stuff and it's sitting, because I don't have the manpower to scan in, you know, our sketches. We don't have the manpower, the time to do a lot of this other stuff. And those are things that I can possibly outsource, which I am actually looking into doing that, and that's another line item I have for my tech fund, which is probably approximately $15,000 to have Apex software come in and actually draw all of our buildings, because we are mandated, once again, by NRS to have property files that have the properties drawn and updated. We have a lot of them drawn, but they're not updated. You know, you have scribbles, you can't really read what's going on. So that's another, that will be coming out of our tech fund. And basically with that, and then, you know, we also, having the tech fund, we don't have to try to budget for computer replacements and different stuff like that. I can pay for that out of my actual tech fund, so it doesn't hit the general fund for the county. So, any questions about the tech fund?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to chime in on this. I'm working with Jana over the past two-plus years, as well as Kathy weeks before. As budgets have reduced and needs have increased, Jana really is the consummate team player in terms of how she applies this tech fund. It's got a lot of statutory requirements on it as to what it can and cannot be used for, and if she conforms to those requirements, she is always most gracious about trying to help prioritize projects that not only help in the assessor's office, which is the requirement, but also help others, as she's mentioned, fire department benefits, SO benefits, we all do.
Planning.
Commissioner Gilman, the map you so crave right now for the lands bill is a GIS
product, and that is that comes at a greatly reduced price. For years, we were spending essentially about $80,000 on GIS. Douglas County came and offered us 100 times the product for 66% of the price. We pay Douglas County GIS right now $55,000. And again, Janet through her tech fund says, hey, this is important to me. I've got to have my map books up online. The more we can put online, the better over time. And in doing so, she picks up $40,000 of that $55,000 bill to Douglas County, and then we scatter the $5,000 each to water and sewer planning and IT. So that's how we basically distribute, and again, Janet picking up the lion's share benefits everyone in the county eventually.
Gold star for you today.
Thank you.
Who we got up next?
I think we have Building and Grounds.
No, we haven't yet.
No.
Uh-huh. Can't talk about everybody.
No. No. Mike?
We'll hold the public questions until the end of the agenda item. We'll hold. What's that? We're going to hold the public questions until we get through with this agenda item that we're on. When we get through the agenda item, then I'll open it up for questions like we do on everything. Yes.
So we can't question
when we're done with this agenda item. Yes, you can. When they make all of them make their presentations.
That was my question. Can we get 3 minutes?
I'll let you know. It's written on the agenda here. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry for the
I think you said we're into buildings and grounds.
Buildings and grounds, Mike.
Okay. Buildings and grounds, we have a request for $429,676. And basically, I just highlighted a few things that are different this year. This year, we decided to categorize utilities, so we're tracking it a little bit better. Before, it was all lumped into one location. And it was called basically courthouse, and those utilities, you know, we provide utility expense for the commissioner's little building up on C Street, the St. Mary's Art Center, the Virginia City rest area up here on the north end of town, the storage facility here at Taylor and B. New this year to our budget is a significant increase due to the streetlight expense being moved over to the buildings and grounds budget. That's $30,000 that used to reside within the towns of Virginia City and Gold Hill, which I understand those budgets will be eliminated. And those revenues and expenses shifted not only into buildings and grounds, but probably other areas within the general fund budget. Courthouse utilities, the utility expense down at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Complex, and new this year is the Mark Twain Community Center utilities. The other significant items in this budget are the continuation of the Cultural Affairs and Historic Preservation Grant Funds match that you see in the budget, and that's for continued Courthouse Electrical Phase 2 project and the Cultural Affairs. That budget was heard. Whether or not that's going to be funded is anybody's best guess at this point. Sherry attended a budget workshop a couple of weeks ago, and I think right now they have no funds, but we put the match in just in case, because last year they did, midway through, decide that they did have some money, so it went, and it helps with this courthouse restoration. So that's $20,000, and then the phase two electrical is $29,000, so that's a total of $49,000 for courthouse restoration. The other significant areas to mention are the general government line items that I've detailed for you in item six. Broke them out by category. We're requesting $20,000 again for the courthouse. We recently have completed some minor work. There's more to do on the south wall parking lot that separates the courthouse from the parking lot. The facade of this building is in need of paint and has been for some time. We'd like to at least, you know, tackle that probably with our own labor force. And then for incidentals, sometimes you just never know what's going to fall apart. We've had not in this building yet, but we have had other facilities where we've had heaters go out, and, you know, we just replaced one in the water plant, and that was $3,000. So, you know, we have it there. If we need it, it's available to use. The other thing we'd like to take a look at is maybe the possibility of installing some new carpet in the common areas of the building. That carpet's been out there for as long as I can remember. And we did recently have it cleaned, and it did shape it up a little bit, but it does need to be replaced eventually. The county building at B. and Taylor, request of $5,000. This current fiscal year, we had kind of an emergency over there. The building wall holds up a portion of Taylor Street on the north side of that building. The wall failed, came in, so we had to go in there and shore it up and have some gunite work done inside the building. The south wall is in the same condition or not worse, so I'm requesting $5,000 so we can at least, you know, keep that shell intact so that place doesn't fall down over there. And we do use it for storage. We keep all of our crack sealing material in there out of the weather. In the wintertime, we keep a reserve snowplow in there and our paver and water truck out of the weather for winter storage. So that's what those funds are requested for, just building stabilization. Item 6C, C Street sidewalks, $10,000. I was talking with Commissioner McBride a little bit about some of the work that needs to be done on the sidewalks, specifically on the south end of C Street on the east side, where really there's nothing and the curb just drops off, you know, into the backyards of some of these buildings and residential structures along that portion on the D Street side. So I made a request of $10,000 basically for materials to shore up that area and provide some sidewalks so keep people off the street, and then repaving of a portion of the north end of sidewalks on the west side, basically from Sutton Avenue to Carson Street. County building and Mark Twain requests for $6,000, and that will be the new community center building. with the anticipated change to the community center from the fire department. I understand that a fire and smoke alarm detection system needs to be installed, and then some barrier between the fire department apparatus bay, where they're going to store some reserve equipment, in the community building there. And, you know, there may be other projects that come along that the advisory board brings forward. So it would be a start. The Virginia City Senior Center, we budget $6,000. I don't have any requests from them at this point for those funds. So we'll, you know, keep that in reserve. I mean, we never know, you know. We had a furnace go out at the Lockwood Senior Center here a couple months ago, and I think we spent about $2,300 in repairs for that. So we keep that there for, you know, those unknowns. The public works yard request for $2,500, basically to put up a security gate between the shop and the community services building to keep people that don't belong up and on the top of the reservoir. Of recent, we've had people, and probably on weekends or in the evenings, go up there and dump trash off. And we've got quite a pile of it. And I don't know why they need to do that, but it seems like it's an easy target, I guess. So I'd like to be able to put up a controlled access into that open reservoir area. There's no fencing around that, and, you know, it is an open water. So to avoid this type of situation and maybe fend off a possible accident, somebody getting in there that doesn't belong in there. 6H is the fire museum up down here on C Street. That's a county building that's leased to the Liberty Engine Company, which is an arm of the volunteer fire department. And last year we put some funding in there so that they could hire basically a contractor to provide some repointing of the brick work on the building. That project was started this current year. It'll continue as soon as the weather improves, and they've made a request for $5,000 again in this budget to continue the upkeep and maintenance of that important county building on South C Street. The North County Senior Center, $6,000. That building is in need of repaint, so we'll use a portion of those funds to purchase the materials. We'll provide the labor, and the remainder will be held in reserve for other repairs that might come along during the fiscal year. The North County Complex, the Tri-Center, I don't have any anticipated projects. There is some discussions, as Dean had mentioned earlier, staff review with the possibility of subletting some of that area down there, and in turn working. This is a contractor, Stampede, to finish some of the tenant improvements inside that building. So this money could be used for some of that material purchase that may be needed. St. Mary's Art Center, $6,000. We started a stabilization project down there a couple of years ago on the porch. Some work needs to be completed on that, I understand recent, too, that they've been having some issues with their boiler system in the building, so I'm sure they'll have a request to utilize some of these funds to help out with that project. The county building on South C Street, was formerly the Comstock Historic District, and of course the county purchased that a couple of years ago from the state, and we just have a $1,000 set aside for something that might be identified to do at that building up there. The other thing, and I skipped right over it, is the highway rest stop. As you realize, that visitor center and restrooms was rehabilitated this last summer, and we have a request for $2,500. We would like to do some more work out there on the grounds, if you will. We have an historic flagpole that used to be up at the water company facility. We'd like to move out there and erect, and it needs a little bit of work. And then that area, there's a lot of shrubbery and trees out there, and sometimes we have people that go out and vandalize those and have to replace them. So if you don't have the money, you can't do it. So. And that's pretty much the highlight of the building grounds. There's two positions, and a portion of my salary comes out of the budget account in that budget. We have a facilities and maintenance coordinator, and then we're getting ready to hire a new custodian. And that custodian basically is the courthouse, does the DA and sheriff's building, the community services building, our small office up at the public works, and the assists when, at the rest stop when that's open in the summertime. Takes care of that. So.
Mike, may I ask a question right quick on
sure.
Under building and grounds?
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider just making a note and putting a budget together, maybe develop a fund for the bathroom remodels and maybe four streetlights down there in the Lockwood area?
Okay, do you want that in buildings and grounds or in the park budget?
I don't believe it's park, is it? It's, but I suppose it could be. You put it where you feel you need to get it with you, but I'd like to take a look at that and put a budget item together to look at.
Yeah, in the parks budget, we have a small amount, $6,000, set aside for that park or requested, but whether or not that's going to do it or not,
I see this is bathrooms and the streetlights I see is school and safety in the area down there. It's just too dark at night and there's a lot of vandalism, but I'd like to see you put a budget together with you and look at that, please.
You betcha.
Put the budget together and then figure out where to assign it, I guess.
See what we've got, yes, sir.
Yeah, we're having to just intervene here a little bit. We've been looking at several things, and the park fund itself is a special revenue fund dedicated from certain revenues. Over and above that, there are monthly charges that we are providing to those parks on a monthly basis, and I'm trying to find an avenue to where we're putting it in all one spot so that, you know, Mike doesn't get a portion and community services doesn't get a portion, that everything is reflected with the parks or at least those facilities in those various areas we can find out what the number is, dedicate those funds that are coming from certain revenue sources, and then we have a complete picture of what the parks are about.
Yeah, that would work, I guess. Get some numbers together and then figure out how we.
Sure. We can certainly do that.
Thank you.
What are you going to hit next, Mike?
Any other questions on the buildings and grounds?
No.
Let's go next, Mike.
Swimming pool. I'll tell you what, it's 12:20. Why don't we take another potty break? It's been almost another hour and a half now since we had a break. How's that sound? So let's do it. You like